Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of truth on the Second Amendment Iron Curtain. Busy week this weekend.
Oh, hi. Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, Monday we had a realtor seminar here, and I had about 20 realtors from Century 21 and a REMAX office that came in, and we did a lipstick bodyguard and a self-protection presentation and everything. Boy, they have a really crappy job, man. Let me tell you something.
Yeah,
talk about being
tough.
Unsafe, you know.
Yeah.
One of the things,
as we saw last week, right?
Yes, I picked up some tips. I know this really isn't our learning segment, but they told us that when they do open houses, older people come in and steal over-the-counter drugs out of the medicine cabinets because it's so expensive, like
really?
Tylenol and Advil and Motrin. Because I talked about a few years ago, there was a cop that lost his job and his girlfriend. He was an addict. They would go to open houses.
It's not in Tom's River or something.
Yes, Tom's River. The wife would distract the realtor, and the husband would steal prescription medication out of the medicine cabinets. And now we're finding out, because of, you know, our wonderful economy and everything, that we have our senior citizens are stealing over-the-counter drugs out of your medicine cabinets.
Wow.
So anybody listening, if you're going to have an open house or sell your house or for sale by owner, you probably should go through the house and secure things like your Tylenol or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of expensive stuff. I mean,
sure.
People that make methamphetamines are always looking for Sudafed and stuff like that too, right?
Right.
So as well as your prescription and over-the-counter stuff, it'd probably be worth it to go through your, you know, medicine cabinets and, you know, your cabinets in the bathroom and put everything in a box or something in the back of a closet after the open house. Something I never thought about. You know, we learn every day.
And what about your drawers and stuff?
Well, your drawers, you definitely shouldn't have spare keys hanging in the kitchen or an entry or something,
right?
Because they'll disappear. So, you know, I mean, we could probably do a whole segment on that. If there's any other realtors out there that know any other tips that aren't,
send
you can
in
just
your tips.
Find in on the on the, by Googling realtor criminals or something. You know, if you have real stuff, let us know. Really cool. A notification, Saturday and Sunday at the cafe, we will have a specialty meatball parm specialty, and we will be giving out samples.
That's
both
your, like,
days as well.
Pre-opening thing, right?
No, well, the grand opening is going to be the end of the month. It's going to be Patriots Pork Roll Canteen, but for now, we're operating Saturdays and Sundays, and Andrew Tazzi, who's our head chef, he's doing homemade meatball parmesan sandwiches that are going to be nice and toasty, and he's going to be giving samples out of it. So
I know the chili giveaway on
we had a ton of he went through about 20 pounds of chili. We had a campfire chili, which was really good. We gave out samples and people loved it. So that's going to be a menu staple. The other thing is, mark your calendar, Saturday, October 18th from 11 to 1, the Woodland Park Cub Scouts will be in the front lobby having a popcorn sale. I will be there as well. The day before, Friday, October 17th, if you haven't signed up yet, I think we have 4 slots left for Evan Knappen's gun law seminar.
Wow.
Starts at 10 a.m.
This is the last for this year.
Of this year. He won't be back until January or February. If you haven't taken this class, you need to take this class. How do you get a lawyer for 9 hours straight to answer your questions? And then a state trooper and a Passaic County SWAT team officer are going to go through shoot-don't-shoot scenarios with you as well. It's been gangbusters. The other thing is, we have the samples here. I do not consent to the search of this bag.
Yeah.
They're at the printers right now. They're going to be in the ANJRPC newsletter in about 2 weeks.
Great.
They'll be available if you join ANJRPC.org for $40 a year as an associate member. You will have this bag tag. They will be for free in the magazines throughout the state of New Jersey at most gun stores and firearm retailers. When they are gone, they're gone. We will have a small amount that we will sell, $3 a piece, 2 for $5 at the range after that. But if you're not a member of ANJRPC, join. Stop calling the range and asking for them, please. You also will get Evan Knappen's business card with SAC on it. Remain silent. Ask for an attorney. Do not consent to giving up your rights. And you also have Anthony's Gun for Hire while transporting firearms directly to the range, what the rules and regulations are.
Very important in this state.
Too. Very, very important.
Even if you're just passing through the state, is it critical that you know about it?
It is so great that you segued into that because I have a gift for you. I ordered two of these. Brian Aiken's book just came out. It's available online and Amazon. It's called The Blue Tent Sky, How the Left's War on Guns Cost Me My Son and My Freedom. Brian Aiken was the left's poster child for gun control. Some of the quotes on the back, Judge Andrew Napolitano, heartbreaking. Judge Jeannie Pirro, outrageous. Clark Neely, Institute for Justice, searing. Wayne LaPierre from the NRA, incredible. And basically, this is a story of Brian Aiken was convicted of three firearms-related felonies in Burlington County in New Jersey in 2010. Prior to his trial, a family court judge revoked his parenting time with his infant son because he felt gun owners provided an unsafe environment for children.
God.
4 months later, Governor Christie commuted his sentence to time served. In 2011, the appellate division overturned two of the three charges. The Blue Tent Sky is the true story of the events that led to Brian's arrest and the years that followed, okay? We were champions of him. We did a lot for Brian Aiken in the beginning with the NRA, ANGRPC, and other 2A organizations. So it's called The Blue Tent Sky by Brian Aiken,
A-I-T-K-N. Available in all bookstores?
All bookstores, Amazon.com, et cetera, et cetera. It's also available in electronic formats if you want that. He did not change any of the names to protect the innocent or the guilty, which he got some shit for, which I don't care. But I'm about halfway through the book. It's a pretty easy read. It will make your blood boil.
Wow.
Okay? It will, when you read the facts in here, it will make your blood boil. And he still is going through legal problems, et cetera, but this just shows how the entire system is rigged, okay?
We should probably get Jose to set up a link to this book that
we can do that. Listen to this quote by Clark Neely from the Institute for Justice. I read the book in one setting. Stupendous achievement, searing, infuriating, and uplifting all at once. Brian Aiken has written a searing memoir about his experiences inside a legal system that has lost its moral compass. This is New Jersey, okay? From the police officers who violated his Fourth Amendment right, that's why you need this bag tag, right? To be free from unreasonable search and seizure, to the prosecutors who indicted him for exercising his Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, to the judges who failed in every step to apply the law correctly and even-handedly. Brian learned to his great cost how deeply ironic the term criminal justice has become for many Americans.
Yeah.
That he can write about his ordeal with such dignity and even humor is a testament to Brian's courage, his integrity, and his compassion. Read this book, Clark Neely III, Institute for Justice. Guys, I'm telling you, I was reading it last night. My heart was beating out of my chest. Sandy, that's your copy.
Thank you.
I got us two copies. So, if you get a chance, please read the book. You'll learn a lot, too. You'll see how the cops trick you. When the cops called Brian and asked him to come back to his parents' house, he said, "Do I have to?" He said, "No, you don't have to." So he says, "Okay, then I'm not." And he continued driving to Hoboken from Burlington County. 2 minutes later, the cop called him back up and said, "We just issued a general order to have you pulled over and apprehended if you don't come back." Which was farce, by the way. It was a lie.
Yeah, the cops can lie.
Yeah.
To
so he
you.
Came back, and the cop was nice to him on the phone, and he went to shake the cop's hand. The cop wouldn't even shake his hand, and he said, "Do you have any firearms?" And then so it went, and I won't tell you the rest of it, but everybody kind of knows the ending. But one charge hasn't been lifted yet, and it still affects his child visitation rights.
Charge,
the hollow point charge has not been lifted. Which it should have been, because all the other evidence that was gathered illegally, by the way. And when you read this book, your blood will boil. And for you out-of-state people, you will see what we live under in states like New York, New Jersey, and California.
And what you're subject to if you drive through the state of
New
Jersey.
If you drive through the state, you're definitely subject to this. Marcus Max had his first sold-out ballistics class. We know now we have to make it longer. 3 hours wasn't enough. It's got to be about 4 hours. Tons of math. People had like those things with the buttons and the screen. What is that called?
Calculator?
They had calculators. And the other long thing with lead in it. What is that called?
A pencil.
They had pencils, and they were doing, you know, there was all kinds of stuff like that. Of course, Ron Sousa attended. And believe it or not, James Kalita attended as well, too.
Wow,
so
great.
It was nice to see him here as a supporter of the show and a supporter of Gun for Hire, which was really good. The other thing is we got a ton of feedback from the Saw Women's Group. The Bring an Anti to the Range Day is co-ed, by the way.
Oh.
I found that. I didn't know that. It was co-ed.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, because we had a few people Facebook and email me some messages about that. But the ladies are doing a great job, and I'm proud to be a supporter of their cause, and it's just going to continue to grow. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah,
and
it is,
you're
going to
see more and more programs coming up, and anything we can do to further the impact of the Second Amendment and our Second Amendment rights and how it affects minorities. Minorities, I'm talking females as well. I've said it a million times, but I believe the white guy segment in this country is saturated by pro-gun groups already. I don't believe we can get any newbies in because every new one we get, somebody is dying.
Right.
So, you know, right. That 4.5-5 million members of the NRA isn't going to grow until the NRA wakes up and says, let's go after the females and let's go after the minorities.
Right.
And they're not going to do that.
And younger people.
Well, they're trying that. They're trying to go after that with Colin Nuwar and stuff, which I think is a great idea. But I think we need to see the face, you know, the representation of NRA change a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, younger, too. Like when we first got involved with firearms, I was 12. And how old were you when you got your first gun?
Oh, no, I was 18.
You were 18?
I was 18 years old.
Wow.
I bought a Mossberg 500 from Kmart in Belleville.
Wow.
For $79.
From Kmart?
Kmart. I bought it, took it off the shelf.
Wow.
And walked up to the sports register and paid for it.
Man, I remember being in Kmart, now that you say that, and at the sporting goods counter, and Alan Alda, who used to live in Franklin Lakes, came in to buy a .22 rifle for his kid.
No kidding.
Yeah. It was really kind of cool.
Were you working there or shopping there?
Shopping there,
okay.
Yeah.
Just checking, because you know, we're all... But yeah, back in the day, the ammo was on the shelves in the Kmart.
Yeah,
it's funny, the guns were on the shelf and the ammo was below it.
Yeah, exactly. Right below it. Right below it. Yes.
Think about it. You could have just grabbed the
and
box and loaded it into
shootings,
something.
Really,
weird,
yeah,
right?
Very weird.
Well, there's a whole FBI report just came out, 47-page report. Chuck Leonard just sent it to me, and I'll be talking about it next week. 47-page report on the FBI and active shooters and stuff. And very interesting.
But has absolutely nothing to do with availability of guns and availability of ammunition together.
No, of course not. But, we have a lot going on in the state of New Jersey. And Stanley and I were just talking to a customer out here that who applied for a carry permit in Bergen County and was denied.
Yeah, it was denied.
He said, F it. I want to do it. I'm going to try. You know, it backfired.
Just to exercise, but, you know.
This happens. But meanwhile, you want to talk about the breakdown of our society. Sandy sent me this link. Lisa Eggersdorf is going to get the award by Sandy for, I say horse's ass award, but Sandy wants to give her Mother of the Year award. She has a facial tattoo, by the way.
Yes,
on the right
tattoo.
Side of
and
her face.
And she's from Utah. This is going on in Utah.
This is in Utah. And her 17-year-old son had been fighting with rival gang members. And he came home and told his mother he got beat up. So she gave him a gun and got in a car and drove him
the drive-by
to shoot the guy that beat her son up.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. This is the society
this
that
is,
we have
this is a
now.
36-year-old mother.
Yes.
You know, 36-year-old who gave birth. I don't want to call her a mother, but she gave birth to this. I don't want to call him a child either.
Well, yeah, but he's in the eyes of the law, he's still a child. But now she got charged with 10 felonies and 3 counts of reckless endangerment. But, you know,
in New Jersey, that'd be a week and a half.
Correct. 36 years old, and she drove her 17-year-old son, gave him the gun, and drove her son to go beat this guy up. I mean, you can't make this shit up.
She drove him to shoot him.
You can't really make this shit up.
Dude, it wasn't even to beat him up. It was to shoot him, to do a drive-by at a 7-Eleven.
You can't make this shit up.
No, this is our society. I have always said it. When you lose the women in society, you've lost society. And this is a perfect example of what the hell is going on under the Obamanation.
Obamanation. You know, anybody that's not from the New York metropolitan area, maybe you've heard of a magazine called The Village Voice. And The Village Voice for years has been known as a liberal rag in New York. But
as left as you can get.
They let me advertise.
Yes, they did.
I advertised for a couple of months with coupons and everything, and we advertised online. Then it got a little too costly, but The Village Voice just did an article, and this came in from Chad Hunt, who's one of our resident professional photographers and a great Gun for Hire supporter. He also built his AR with Jimmy. Chad was the photographer the two times we were in Popular Mechanics magazine. He was the photographer. The Village Voice did an article, how a 50s era New York knife law has landed thousands in jail.
Mm.
And it talks about if you can take one of your pocket knives and do this, where you flick it and it opens up by flicking your wrist. In New York, that is considered a gravity knife, even if it's a little Boy Scout pocket knife.
And a lot of the NYPD officers who frequent here, and we can't really name them, have said that in order to test that sometimes, they'll grab a hold of the blade and flick the body of the knife
which
out.
Which is completely wrong.
Completely wrong.
Yes.
But if it opens up, boom, gravity knife.
And there's been cases where the cop who apprehended the person couldn't open the knife and asked another cop to try. And he had the flick of the wrist down perfectly. And there goes my knife. They had the flick of the wrist go down perfectly, and what they did was then they charged him with having a gravity knife. And it wasn't designed for that type of knife. It was designed for an old 50s design knife.
I mean, they haven't made those knives. You know, I think the only place you can see those things are in antique and relic shops.
Yeah, you're not going to find them anywhere. It was basically, the original gravity knife was used by German Luftwaffe paratroopers in World War II.
Wasn't it an out-of-the-front knife?
Correct. And that's how it was designed. And that's what the law was made in New York in 1950. Since then, thousands of people have gone to jail. Some were released the next day, but some of them, they talk about this one guy here. And you guys can Google Village Voice and Richard Neal, N-E-A-L. This guy was a three-time loser. He was a felon and everything. But he was 59 years old, and he was walking down the street. And he had a little pocket knife in his pocket.
That he used at a maintenance job that he held.
Correct. To open boxes and packages and stuff. And the police said, "What are you doing? I'm walking home. Mind if we search you?" They patted him down. They found this little pocket knife. And he went back to jail for 6 years.
Right.
For a pocket knife.
For a pocket knife.
And you know, what did they say? There's no mens rea there. There was no criminal intent.
Right.
He didn't put the pocket knife up to somebody's throat
Had no criminal intent whatsoever. It didn't dream of using it for anything.
He was just walking home from his job. He was trying to get his life back together. He was homeless for a while in shelters after he got out of prison and everything. So this is what we live with in this area, ladies and gentlemen, and we want you all to know this.
The interesting take on that story I want to talk about when we come back, too, is what's going on with the police departments right now being rewarded for this type of thing. This started under Bloomberg. It's going to definitely get worse under the proclaimed socialist who's the mayor of New York right now, de Blasio. We'll be right back. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against the state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRRO.com. Waldorf Chiropractic on Facebook. Dr. Eric has published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. If you or anyone you know lives within 30-mile radius of Bridgewater, New Jersey, please hook him up to Waldorf Chiropractic. Or just shoot Dr. Eric an email of thanks. Or go on and like his page and share it with friends who might need chiropractic help. If you're in pain or something is ailing you, he can help you. If you want to improve your shooting, check him out. Please support those who support us. Sandy, you were going to continue talking about the article, the Village Voice?
A lot of times what happens in the city of New York is, you know, cops are being rewarded for arrests, right? And if you can bump up a felony, what they really do is they're trying to, this stop and frisk law that goes on in New York, they're really kind of drumming up the numbers by making it look like they're doing something about crime when really all they're doing is the same thing they do here in New Jersey, is go after the low-hanging fruit. We've said this all the time. Yeah. Brian Aiken is a perfect case for low-hanging fruit. They're not going out after gangbangers. They're not really reducing violence. God forbid they should actually go after the Bloods and the Crips and the Latin Kings, MS-13, that are all getting together and forming cartels here in New Jersey. They're going after guys like Brian Aiken, after people who are carrying pocket knives, because they can keep the arrest records up. And they're saying, look, we're taking weapons off the street.
Yes. And not only that, but what's going on in New York right now, on top of that, is there's a bill in New York that proposes allowing, listen to this, concerned friends.
This is frightening.
To seize guns.
Frightening.
In the wake of the first in the nation law authorizing the confiscation of guns from people who pose a threat, a New York State lawmaker is introducing legislation that would permit anyone who's concerned to have a person's gun seized.
That means your neighbor, your ex-wife, your friend, your whatever, can say, I don't think that this person, I think this person poses a threat to either himself or to the public.
Now listen to this. Democratic Assemblyman Brian Kavanaugh, who represents Manhattan, told the New York NPR radio his bill was modeled, of course, from the new California law.
Yeah, it's sickening.
Prompted by a May 23rd rampage near the University of California, Santa Barbara, in which 6 people were fatally stabbed or shot and 13 wounded. That was the nutty kid that couldn't get a date, so he killed everybody.
Right.
Okay, the parents of 22-year-old Elliot Roger, who took his own life in the siege, had called law enforcement prior to the violence to no avail. The cops went and they didn't ask him if he had firearms.
Correct.
This was a kid who threatened violence on a blog, on a Facebook page, and everything else. So this is a bill that would
permit... They had probable cause at that time.
Correct.
They didn't need anybody to turn
correct.
Them in.
So this is a bill that would permit family members or friends or medical professionals or law enforcement or really anyone who's concerned that somebody having access to guns poses a serious danger
anyone.
To go to court and present evidence of that. And if the court were persuaded, they would be able to issue a temporary order preventing the person from acquiring or possessing guns. How long before this gets introduced in New Jersey, Massachusetts?
Oh, it's going to follow
right. And six or seven other states.
Absolutely. Because what happens in the craziness of New York and California and New Jersey doesn't stay here. And you've got supporters in Massachusetts and Connecticut. The problem with this is very simple. We talk about it all the time. It's reactionary legislature. All it is that you're writing laws based on an emotional reaction. I think there should be some sort of a waiting period for legislators to at least calm down before they write any legislation.
Brian Malti of the Brady campaign supports this bill.
That's news.
And said a similar effort is being planned in Washington, D.C.
as
well. So you see,
yes,
coming soon everywhere.
Yep.
This is definitely, this is like Gestapo tactics, right?
Absolutely.
This is Nazi tactics.
Absolutely.
And
all you have to do, and they love this thing. This is where socialism leads you. This is a natural progression of socialism. You have seen this every time socialism, Marxism, communism, fascism, it's all the same thing, has been enacted. This is a natural progression where neighbor turns in neighbor.
Correct. That's where we're headed now. Pol Pot did it. Mao Zedong did it.
Hitler.
Stalin did it. Let's face it.
Everybody thinks Hitler was a fascist. Hitler wasn't a fascist. He was a socialist.
Correct.
He was he headed the National Socialist Party.
The other one, what's his name? The midget in North Korea. You're supposed to report on... Right?
You had to wait till I was taking a drink,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Well, you. That's because you're always taking a drink. What is that, shoe polish? So this is coming everywhere. Now it's Big Brother. Now we're supposed to report on each other.
Yes.
All right? Not when we see a real criminal act happening.
No.
No, this is hearsay or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, if you talk to somebody like Evan Knappen, once your stuff is seized, getting it back is...
Forget about it.
You know, and now you're going to have, well, you know, he said something off color the other day.
I didn't like the way he was angry. I saw him angry.
So go to court. And now what's the court going to say, Sandy? You have to take a psychological evaluation.
Right, your expense.
And good luck in New York, D.C., New Jersey, California, finding a doctor who's going to write you something that says it's okay for you to be around guns.
Right.
Because who knows, right?
Right, because if you go off the deep end, that doctor gets sued, could possibly lose their license.
Oh, man, we're in so much trouble.
This is just out of control.
Start reading 1984, people.
Yeah, that's right.
If you haven't read Orwell's 1984, please read it.
No,
really.
We are there.
I got a ton of positive feedback from listeners that went out and bought the 5,000 Year Leap. And I highly recommend you read that book.
Yeah,
you know, it's about how the framers of our Constitution thought ahead 5,000 years. But basically, because of the information highway, it's going to take us less than 500 years to crumble. It's actually going to take us less than 300 years for it to crumble. And it'll evolve into something else eventually. But, you know, the way we're going with reporting on each other and et cetera, is horrible.
We're headed down, you know, I had this discussion. I had a 45-minute discussion. I didn't even get into gun control with a guy, and he's a great guy. I exercise with this guy. He's, you know, he's a printer and a business owner and a devout socialist. And I said to him, Brute, name one time where socialism has ever ended well. It's always ended poorly.
Margaret Thatcher says socialism is great until you run out of
other people's
money.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah. It's great. Look at Greece. That's a perfect example of what has happened over the period of a very short period of time since World War II with socialism. Now they're going back to Nazism. Coming back.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge.
They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom. Keeping you informed of the threats to your freedom with news, commentary, and issues you'll never hear discussed on the mainstream media, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the largest Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
This segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. December 23rd, they're having a Christmas party for the Saw Group up there. Anybody who's interested on the male end of going to JR Tobacco and smoke cigars and have a little bite to eat, and if you want an adult beverage, we're going to do that. Ron's also hosting a couple of other Saw Group events up there. Support those who support us. Montville Executive Suites on Facebook, MontvilleOffice.com. Check him out. If you or anybody you know needs to get out of the coffee shop or their mom's basement and they want to go and move into the professional level, that's the way to go. Hey, for as little as $59 a month.
$59?
$59 a month.
Like,
you know, while we're talking New Jersey, did you guys know the FBI director, James Comey? He knows a thing or two about being a victim of a crime.
I never knew that.
Me either.
Did you ever hear of the Ramsey rapist?
No, the Ramsey rapist in 1977. Comey was on 60 Minutes, and they were talking about terrorism threats and stuff. And he said he knows what it's like to be a victim. He knows he can relate to victims through his professional career because he and his brother were home. And the Ramsey rapist broke into their house in Allendale, New Jersey, which is up in Bergen County.
Very nice neighborhood.
Yep, they escaped from him. He was holding them hostage. They jumped out a window, and he ran outside and got them on the lawn and brought them back in the house. And they escaped a second time.
Man.
And they went to a neighbor's house, and they got help, all right? He was part of a pattern of rapes and robberies and home invasions in that area of northern New Jersey. He was never caught, by the way. But he said, the incident most affects me in giving me a sense of what victims feel. Even the notion that no one is physically harmed doesn't mean no one was harmed, because I thought about that guy every night for 5 years, okay? Wow. That's a great testament for him to say that. You know, as the FBI director, he's supposed to be Mr. Macho Man and everything else, but he knows what it's like to feel to be a victim.
Can you imagine as a child being held at gunpoint by a crazy man who just kicked your
door
in?
Well, they didn't know he was the rapist or anything. They only knew he was a crazy man that, you're right, kicked in the front door, and they didn't know if they were going to get killed or whatever. And, I can't believe it that he survived it and he became FBI director, but he talks about how 5 years it affected him.
Right.
When I had the realtors here the other night, a couple of them were victims of crime, and they talked about the same thing, how they still relive it.
Yeah.
And the ones that were victims of crimes, by the way, that survived, they're much safer today. Because
right.
they don't fall for normalcy bias.
Yep. Right.
All right, we talk about normalcy bias all
the
time.
They've had that broken.
Correct. And their visualization and mindset has changed.
Yes.
Where they look at things differently. They were telling me people come to their office, they just don't look right. They tell them they don't have anything to show.
Right.
You know, but of course you can't always trust that. And a few of the realtors shared with me that they trust their sixth sense.
Yeah.
If they're going into somewhere they don't like the way it is, they were telling me stories how today houses are on the market for years and stuff, and they go in and squatters are living there, and junkies are living there, and they're one of them went into a house. It was a meth lab.
Get out of town, really?
Yep, meth lab moved in because the bank owns the house. It's been on the market for 2 or 3 years, so it was a meth lab. Now you can walk into the drug cartel, all right?
Let me show you the kitchen. Pay no attention to that smell.
I don't normally do this, but I thought it was funny. I got this thing from Mental Floss, 15 things that you might not know about New Jersey, and I just want to hit on a few and give my take on them.
Okay.
If you don't mind. Napoleon had an older brother who lived in New Jersey.
Really? Okay,
yeah, after running into trouble as the king of Spain, Joseph Bonaparte moved to Bordentown, New Jersey.
Bordentown, New Jersey, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's...
Yep. And
my video editor.
It caught fire in 1820, and his art collection and everything burned down. But Grover Cleveland was the only U.S. president born in New Jersey. He moved when he was four to New York, but he was the only one that was born.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. And so New Jersey also is one of two states where motorists aren't allowed to pump their own gas. If you don't know that, if you live in New Jersey, we don't pump our own gas.
Yeah,
we're sissies.
Exactly right.
Or Oregon is the other one. In 1949, they passed
that.
Well,
you know, when it's like -5 degrees outside, that's generally a good thing.
And, you know, we have a lot of music legends, Frank Sinatra, Whitney Houston, Frankie Valli, Bruce Springsteen, and John Bon Jovi. You know, they talk about we were named a garden state at one time. We were all farms. Now we're highways, malls, and diners.
And exits, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, we grow cancer here like nobody else.
We grow cancer. The official color of the New Jersey flag is buff.
Serious?
I swear to God.
Is that what they call that,
uh-huh.
Buff? It's kind of like a baby shit brown.
I don't understand that. They talk about a couple other things, crap like that. But the last fact about New Jersey is really funny. Derringers.
And that's all it says, too.
I just wanted you guys to know
Derringers.
That it was Derringers.
It just doesn't say anything else.
No,
nope,
just says
just
Derringers, Derringers. Yeah. New Jersey. It used to be the Garden State. There are some beautiful farms in the state of New Jersey, but most of the people know us as, what exit are you from?
And Derringers.
And Derringers and malls and diners and malls and shit like that. So,
oh, my.
Here's another law that's going to help you. An attorney, the new D.C. gun law is still unconstitutional. Even though they're starting to issue carry permits limited through Washington, D.C., of course, Phil Mendelson, who drafted the bill along with the mayor,
Democrat.
Indicated, of course, he's a Democrat. Him, with the backing of the Brady campaign, and of course, Bloomberg's the midget group, the midget coalition against gun ownership, is going to go after the bill, the law again, and they're going to contest it. So they're going to further delay it. And of course, what's his name? Our man is on it, Alan Gura from the Second Amendment Foundation. But they're saying, you know, he wrote, if it looks like we're being cranks and we don't want anyone to get a license, we're in trouble in court, he said. I don't think this will survive a legal challenge. So they want to just make sure nobody gets a gun permit.
Of course.
Okay?
They're using the bureaucracy. And it's typical Cass Sunstein tactic.
Yes, and Alan Gura asked the judge to act quickly so that the individuals would not need to provide a specific reason to carry a gun outside the home, because now they want a specific reason, just like New Jersey.
Just like
okay?
New Jersey.
And the D.C. Council has put their cards on the table from the beginning. Their goal of not allowing anyone to carry a weapon remains the same, but now they're just looking for the legal language to enforce the same ban while giving the appearance of obeying the Supreme Court. They need to be flushed out into the light of day and exposed. Well, good luck, but we all know the end game is they don't want anybody to have a carry permit.
Right.
The D.C. Council were all the ones that said that D.C. is all sensitive areas, so no one should be able to carry a gun in sensitive areas.
Of course.
Okay?
Everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
And this segment is brought to you by Philly Gun Training, Jose Morales, PhillyGunTraining.com. Jose, as you know, manages our Gunfire Radio website and uploads all of the shows every week and puts the little blurbs and everything.
He's been volunteering since the day one.
Yes, he's also a student of Gun for Hire, Gun for Hire alumni. He's an NRA training counselor, but he has a school right across the street from the police department in Philly.
And right on Spring Garden.
Right on Spring Garden. He will help you with everything. He has a range, access to a range right around the corner. So check out Philly Gun Training. Stop and see Jose and tell him we said hi.
Yeah, if you're anywhere in South Jersey, like in Camden, Cherry Hill, places like that, or anywhere out on the main line, it's like 10 minutes away.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
From conservativesunited.com, Sandy, 7 reasons liberals are wrong on gun control. Just some bullet points. Number one, gun control laws don't stop mass shootings. In nearly all cases, more restrictive gun laws would have not have stopped the shooters from legally obtaining a firearm. Most mass shootings are perpetrated by mentally disturbed individuals who have never previously been identified as dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So all your gun laws, mental background, health checks, anything to work.
Doesn't
you know
matter.
What's killing it? Political correctness.
Yes. I had this discussion this morning about something entirely different to deal with communicable diseases, but political correctness, you know, Ron calls it our Sharia law, but it's going to be the death of this country.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
If you were to see what's going on right now on CDC and things I can't even talk about, literally the insanity that goes on. At this point, just because of political correctness, and it's pervasive in every single law and throughout our entire society. It's
correct.
Just, it's insane.
Correct. So because we can't say something looks wrong with him.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I have a guy here that came in. His daughter's a school teacher. The kid lives in the basement. Okay. He's 14 years old. He doesn't speak with the parents. They leave his food in the kitchen table. The parents have a minivan. The kid put a curtain up. He sits in the back seat of the minivan. He doesn't look at the parents or anything. They bring him to school. He's abrasive. He's combative and everything else. No one will do anything. Okay?
Are you serious?
The guy was telling me his daughter is a teacher. She's concerned.
She's concerned.
Concerned for her safety, and the school won't act on anything because of political correctness. This sounds just like Adam Lanza.
Yeah, absolutely.
Living in the basement,
sure.
Plays video games,
right.
Goes on these weird peer-to-peer internet networks and
right,
stuff like
right.
that. So,
and doesn't have any interaction with anybody
no.
in the real world, only
no.
in the virtual
correct.
World.
So this is what, and then because, well, we don't want to make trouble, and we can't say anything. We don't say anything because we don't want to make trouble. And that's how these vegetables mm-hmm. are allowed to grow to full bloom
right.
and then create
right.
havoc amongst us.
Right.
And then what we do is, like you say, we change the focus. It's the gun.
Right. Exactly right. You'll see this happen even in the employment situation. Both of us are employers of a lot of people. And you'll get references back from when you go to hire someone that says, we can only verify the dates of employment. We can't tell you whether
correct.
He was good, he stole.
Can't ask anything,
well,
any-
can't
no,
ask
we
anything
can't.
Anymore.
Correct.
For years and years and years and years, we followed that back up with reporting everything that we know about the person. It's just that way, because that's what I would want as an
correct.
Employer or potential employer for you to disclose to me. Just because you say screw
we're not allowed.
You, I exactly right. You know, it's just unbelievable.
See, here, everybody gets a pink card, so we send them to the state police for a background check.
Right. Yeah, right.
The number two, guns are the most effective means of self-defense. They are the ultimate equalizer. Guns are also an equalizer for women and elderly or handicapped. Number three, gun laws won't keep guns out of the hands of criminals. Oh, my God, how many times have we talked about this before? If we were to press a button tomorrow and all the guns disappeared, would crime disappear? No. Hunters and sportsmen would be unfairly penalized by gun laws, and they're the ones usually that don't support our cause all the time.
They never support our cause.
Okay.
And yet only 3% of the murders that ever happen with a weapon like a rifle.
Criminals won't have to change their lifestyle if they change gun laws. It's the law-abiding citizens and the hunters and sportsmen.
Yep.
Okay. Number five, gun laws haven't worked in the U.S. A recent study by Quinnipiac University, which is not right-wing, by the way.
No, not at all.
Nope. Studied 30 years of statistics and determined that stricter gun control laws have not correlated with a reduction in crime.
No. In fact, quite the opposite is true.
Well,
because the guns have grown exponentially.
Correct.
And crime has gone down.
Number six, gun laws in other countries haven't reduced violence. A Harvard University study debunked the myth that the rate of intentional deaths is higher in the U.S. than in countries with restrictive gun control laws. In Russia, where handguns are banned, the murder rate is much higher than the U.S.
And so is the suicide rate.
Correct. Yet Norway, where 32% of the households own guns, has the lowest murder rate in Western Europe.
Right.
Okay. Number seven, crime rates are down without gun control. Crime is a reflection of culture, not gun ownership.
Correct.
Violent crimes in the United States have fallen 22% in the last 10 years. The murder rate has actually fallen since 2004 when the federal assault weapon rifle ban expired.
As the economy goes into the shitter, the crime rate has always gone up.
Got to get high.
Poor people. Yes,
gotta
absolutely.
Get money.
Got to get money. Got to get high. Got to get whatever. And everybody becomes dependent upon the social dole.
Correct. Following this, the whole mindset, the progressive mindset about guns, this was great. This was in Patriot Update about how gun control laws and political correctness and liberals have ruined show and tell for school kids.
Really?
Yeah, they ruined show and tell for school kids because, you know, kids used to bring their guns to school.
Yeah.
They used to bring Lugers. Yeah. They used to bring slingshots.
Yeah.
They bring BB
guns.
Grandpa's
Luger. Yeah.
Schools won't let kids bring archery sets to school for show and tell or anything anymore. You know, you could probably bring condoms in for show and tell.
Oh, I'm sure you could, yeah.
You know, and they cite a few examples in here about how kids used to bring rifles and bayonets and hunting knives in. One kid whose dad fought in the Battle of the Bulge brought in a German Luger. His dad came in with him with the gun in a case, made sure it was empty. And the teacher liked it so much that what she did was they did a whole study group on the Battle of the Bulge after that, using the kid's father as an example.
Well, when I was in maybe the third grade, the same thing. It wasn't a German Luger, but it was a rifle. Guy brought in a rifle and a bayonet with his you know, his son brought his dad in, and his dad was, you know, had fought in the war. His grandfather, actually. It was his grandfather who fought in the war. And they brought in a rifle and a bayonet, and they told the story, and we learned about it. That was third grade.
But
how things have changed.
But no, now you're creating a dangerous environment,
course,
and kids can't even draw a gun, point a finger, make a Pop-Tart shaped like a gun, or a piece of pizza made out of a gun or something.
It's just upside
But meanwhile,
down.
You got the kid in the back who's standing behind a shower curtain, won't let anybody touch him or look at him. That's fine.
That's fine.
Who
That's
did anybody what, water Albert?
Me?
You know, got to go over and put a little water on him or something. You know.
Dude, I got to tell you, I guess my wife and I, we rarely talk about different things like that, but we hardly, you know how much television I watch, is about as much as you watch.
I think, get about 4 hours a week.
Yeah, if Nielsen ever did a study on our homes, commercials itself are about 39 cents. So we did get turned onto a Netflix show that we started watching called The Blacklist. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's acts very, very good.
I'm
James
living
Spader.
In temporary quarters right now. I have no cable
you
or
gotta
anything.
I got to get you a Roku. But James Spader is in it, and I love him. Ever since Boston Legal, when he played opposite William Shatner. But plays a great, great character, borderline psychopath, you know, sociopath. And, you know, that like the lovable sociopath, like was in The Sopranos, right? But there was a scene where they walk into J&J Hats. Is that where
that's
we
where
went?
We go. J&J Hats
J&J
Center,
Hats.
New York.
And the guy Jose who sold me my hat.
No shit.
Yeah, it was great. I was gonna call you up. You have to really see this.
I love it.
But it's really fantastic. A great, great show. But one of the interesting things about it and things that ruin it for me is there's a back we talk about this a lot, that executive producers are paid
by the
Joint Anti-Guns
Foundation.
Right. Yes. So what happened in this one scene was there was a scene where there was a hostage situation in a convenience store. The hostage taker takes out a gun. A concerned citizen takes out his gun and, of course, now is shot by the hostage taker. The concerned citizen manages to get off a shot but hits a little girl. So it's so ridiculous.
Yep. Usually they make us look like boobs.
Absolutely. He was. He was a feeble old man who took out a gun and tried to and jerk the trigger and everything. And here's this young guy who was, you know, he was the hostage taker. And, you know, the bad guy always wins on that sort of thing.
You guys ever need a hat? They're not a sponsor, but go to JJ Hat Center in Manhattan. The guys
absolutely.
Are the best. Sandy and I and the guys, I get all my, from my fedoras to everything else. There's Jose. They have a Facebook page.
Yeah,
JJ
Hat
Center.
He was right. Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah, JJ Hat Center.
Good guys. Listen, this was on ABC of all places, okay? This on ABC this week. When we come back, I'll discuss it. Hold that thought.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Are we back yet?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so listen to this. This is from ABC on this week's show, reporting on preventing school shootings, and they made no mention of gun control, all right? ABC News reporter Pierre Thomas unveiled a detailed investigation report on school shootings during this week's show that surprisingly did not feature what such reports, you know, invariably include, a call for more restrictive gun control. Okay, it's something that you don't see that often, but he talked a little bit about how it's basically a disturbing phenomenon that we allow mental health to go untreated or unrecognized. Right. I just wanted to follow in because we talk about Sharia law and political correctness here. So even some of the lamestream media is starting to get it, you know, which is unbelievable.
Well, which it's encouraging, too, because when we talk about reactionary laws being made, we miss the point of critical thinking. And unfortunately, if you don't name the real problem, you have to identify the problem before you can ever solve the problem. When you go chasing after butterflies, it becomes worse and worse and worse.
Correct.
And all they do is just do more of the same and expect it to be a different outcome.
So, you know, guys, most of you guys know me personally. You know I don't believe in the electric chair.
No, the electric bleachers.
30 at a time, yeah. No waiting, right? Well, a great article just came out from David B. Mulhausen. He's an expert in criminal justice programs for the Heritage Foundation. And he just came out with this great article, and it's called Capital Punishment Works. It Deters Crime. And they did a 50-state study, and they found a Gallup poll from May on the topic found that 61% of Americans view the death penalty as morally acceptable. Okay, only 30% disagree. Even though foes of capital punishment have for years been increasingly vocal in their opposition to the death penalty, Americans have consistently supported capital punishment by a ratio of 2-1, and they are wise to do so. Based on data from all 50 states from 78 to 97, each state execution deters an average of 14 murders annually.
Wow.
Okay, so every time they zap somebody, there's 14 less murders in that state. All right. We had our politicians were proud when they repealed the death penalty. They bragged about it. Our liberal progressives.
That's why New Jersey has one of the highest crime rates in the country.
Correct. And they talk about a recent study by Kenneth Land of Duke University and other included that from 94 to 2005, each execution in Texas was associated with modest short time reductions in homicide. A decrease of up to 2.5 murders. And in 2009, researchers found that adopting state laws allowing defendants in child murder cases to be eligible for death penalty was associated with a 20% reduction in rates of those crimes.
Isn't this something that they learned during King Henry VIII's reign? That if you're going to take people out and publicly execute them,
there's nothing.
People
China
don't do
still
the same thing.
Has it on TV.
Absolutely.
Public executions are televised. In short, capital punishment...
You would be selling tickets to this show.
Oh, shit, yeah. In short, capital... Could you hold this hot dog for me a minute? And I'd have the bun with kraut and mustard on it. No, he needs a couple more seconds.
Yeah,
I like my dog
more.
As a ripper. In short, capital punishment does in fact save lives. That's certainly not to say that it should be exercised with wild abandon. All right, I disagree with one part of the article.
Yeah.
Federal, state, and local officials must continually ensure that its implementation rigorously upholds constitutional protections such as due process, etc. But moral indignation is an appropriate response to inherently wrongful conduct, such as that carried out by, they talk about Earl Ringo, he killed somebody over $1,800. But the article says, you know, in states like New Jersey, we have a higher murder rate because we don't have capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Capital punishment, that's, you know, like Texas has a lower rate because people are scared, man.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Well,
they're afraid.
See here, Ant, I mean, we've heard stories from all the cops who are here about how these guys want to just get their bones. They cannot wait. We've reported about this story about that kid down in Camden, remember? About, well, last year sometime.
Correct.
Who could not wait to get his bones, couldn't
so
wait to go to prison.
Street cred.
Yeah, so he could get street cred. This is ridiculous. It's kind of upside down.
Yeah.
No one is willing to point at it and say the emperor has no clothes. No one is willing to point at this and say this is wrong.
Correct.
It's not working.
Again, political correctness.
Correct.
But, you know, they fought for that. Now, I told you I saw the ultimate hypocrisy once. A guy in California, God forbid, his daughter was abducted and put in a van and brutally raped and then murdered and found in a van in Arizona. Mm. And they extradited the guy, the perpetrator from Arizona back to California. And they interviewed the father. And the father says, I'm normally not for the death penalty, but in this case, I think we should have it. You know, and that's like the ultimate hypocrisy.
Right.
Because it was your daughter, we should have the death penalty.
Yeah.
But if it's my daughter, we shouldn't.
Right.
Okay, it needs to be a fair playing field. And today, you know, guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. If you have physical evidence, if you have, you know, it's not like
35 people saw you do it.
Yes, listen, it's not like the 50s where we had a lot of racial stuff, and you know, a black guy committed the crime, and they go into a bar and grab a black guy, and he was the murderer. You know, that shit existed. Let's face it, in southern states and racist and you know. That stuff happened, and we know it happened. It not only happened with blacks. Of course, it happened with a larger proportion, but it happened with whites and other colors as well. But what I'm saying is with DNA today testing and with witnesses and with all the forensic technology, if you were proven guilty beyond a reason of a doubt with physical evidence, you should get fried. But I'm, again, you know, when I get shit for this, I've been speaking about this 4 years on this radio show. give back to society. If you don't have hepatitis or AIDS or something, man, we should just be harvesting all of their organs and giving them to people that are waiting on. I have customers here that are waiting for vital organs and stuff. They didn't do it to themselves. Bad blood transfusion or something.
Likely die.
And they're law-abiding, tax-paying citizens that contribute to society every day. Go and harvest the organs out of these people, and then whatever's left, give the carcass to a medical school so they can work on what's left. I don't know. I don't care. And then after that, send it to a feed farm or something. I don't care.
Right.
But tough shit. But we really need to get tough. This whole progressive movement is not helping. The deterrent would be, holy shit, if I commit this crime, I will get killed. I'm not going to go to prison where I have cable TV all day.
Right.
Because not every prison is
and
like
drugs.
Sheriff Joe in Arizona.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, most of them here, they strike if they don't have, if the air conditioning doesn't get cool enough.
Correct. I got an email from Marty Crudelo, who's one of our vegans that's a member of the
vegan
range
pilot,
here. Vegan pilot. And Marty's a funny guy, but, Tom O'Byrne invented one new menu item on the cafe. It's going to be called a Trenton Musket Dog. It's going to be a best hot dog made in Jersey, wrapped in Patriots pork roll with Land O'Lakes cheese on a roll.
God.
So Marty is thanking us.
It comes with a gift certificate for an angioplasty. Yeah.
Marty, with tater tots on
with
the side.
Tater tots,
Marty
great.
Is thanking us that we came up with a Benedict Arnold sandwich, which is going to be for the vegans. So he's happy about that. But he has a little blurb about when we had the Saw Group on, we were talking about introducing women. He goes, I was listening to your a broadcast about women in 22s, and I must say that I'm not sure that what you imply is true. I remember taking my first class that Jimmy taught with my daughter, and although I'd shot before, it was a long time ago, and when we went across the street to shoot and picked up the guns for the first time, I noticed my hand shaking. I don't think that women should start with a 22 necessarily. I think everyone should start with a 22. It takes away the unknown. Wow, this isn't so bad. After firing 22 is a lot better than, holy shit, this Walter PPK James Bond gun, a 9mm, not only cut my hand, but hurt my wrist bones as well. One mag in a 22 for any new shooter is just for comparison, might not be a bad idea. Marty the vegan pilot. Thank you, Marty. I agree, too. What Sherry was really trying to get at is, though, is they shouldn't just shoot a 22.
Right.
When someone takes our class here, we let them shoot 22, 9mm, and 38.
Yeah.
They should all feel, and if you want at home, you can start them with an airsoft gun.
Which is teach them all
how the actions work and sight alignment and everything. So I agree to disagree that Benedict Arnold might be called the Marty McArnold.
Marty McArnold.
We'll figure something out. No, I don't want to use the Mick because they'll think we're copying him from the Golden Arches or something.
That's right. That would be a problem.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Evan Knappen, October 17th will be here. If you didn't sign up for the class, do it now. October 18th, the Cub Scouts are having a sale of popcorn here from 11 till 3. Stop by and say hi. Ladies only, Urban Pistol, Thursday, October 9th. What's today? Okay, Thursday, October 9th. I might have passed already.
I'm sorry.
Sweatshirts and bottle openers are in, as well as your free Gun for Hire stickers. We also have I Will Not Comply swag. Come in and check it out. Have a smoke in the FU Bloomberg Lounge in this beautiful Indian summer we've been having.
Oh, it's been beautiful weather for New Jersey. But then again, it's New Jersey. Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and their license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Winston the Dog, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. And the folks at Lipstick Bodyguard want you to know that if you're one of the tens of thousands who have purchased a Lipstick Bodyguard in the past 4 years, and it is more than a year old, it is time to renew that. They don't have a shelf life forever. You want to make sure, just like a fire extinguisher, that you're working with something that is going to work when you need it. You can go to lipstickbodyguard.com, or you can come directly into the beautiful Gun for Hire Woodland Park range to pick up yours, and they make great Christmas gifts, even though it's October. We love you guys. Thank you for making this the greatest Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Time to say goodbye, Winston. See you next week. From sea to the shine.